This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Continuing the journey of the bad moral habits or practices that we find, that some of these habits have become habitual amongst us, and some of us, we begin to think nothing of it, and it becomes common practice. So that's some of the previous sins or the bad habits that we mentioned. It becomes part and parcel of our life that we carry out these actions, and we don't even think that we're sinning. We think we're not doing anything wrong. And we mentioned that the sad fact is that sometimes we find religious people or people who should know better begin to justify or begin to legalize these practices, and this doesn't help. As for religious people, then obviously we can take this in a very loose manner, because many people practice or claim to be practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. But unfortunately, they have many flaws and many practices, or many of these bad moral habits, they exist inside their life. And they may cover themselves with a clad or a clothing of appearance of Islam. But internally, there's still corruption that they need to purify, they need to take away from their lives. Or these bad moral habits have become a part of their life and need to cleanse themselves from these bad moral habits. Not to say the person, a religious person, may not have bad moral habits, but they don't begin to carry them out in a public domain. They're vigilant about how they conduct themselves and what they do. So thus this connotation of a practicing Muslim is a very weak wording in actual fact to use in the Western world. What does it mean to entail to be a practicing Muslim? Does it just mean to do certain actions visibly and not focus upon the core elements of belief and character and avoiding the haram and sticking to the halal that we find? So we find that today's moral habit or bad habit that we find is not just a bad habit. We can safely conclude that this bad habit is something which is haram, something which is dangerous, and something which is even sinful or can be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for carrying out this action. All of this action is based upon this one hadith, upon various ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an akli al-basli wal-kurath. The Prophet alayhi wasallam, he prohibited people from the eating of onions and leeks in its pure format, in a raw format, to eat these vegetation or these vegetables that we find. فَغَلَبَتْنَا الْحَاجَةُ فَأَكَلْنَا مِنْهَا. So they have a need that they like this food, and they began to eat it. It overcame them. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he said to them, مَنْ أَكَلَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ مُنْتِنَةِ, whoever eats from this foul, evil tree, this foul-smelling tree, فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مَسْجِدَنَا فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَأَذَّى مِنْ مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ الْإِنسِ. So whoever eats from this foul-smelling tree or this plantation, let them not come to the masjid, our masjid. Because indeed the malaika ta'adha mimma yata'adha minhul ins. Because indeed the angels feel the harm, just like human beings may feel the harm of that smell or a foul smell that's coming out of the human body or the mouth of that individual. What we want to deduce from this hadith is shurbud dukhan, hukmut tadkhin, the taking of cigarettes, the smoking of cigarettes that we find. That this bad moral habit, is that we're going to conclude, is something haram, and is something rampant amongst the Muslim society that we find, that, as we mentioned, as we began with, many people don't think much of it. And unfortunately, there may be a minute element of a small percentage of religious clerics who may have initially classified as being makruh, something disliked, and people begin to follow that. Or we find that people do that, and people look up to these individuals as role models and begin to justify the actions that they're doing. People may begin to say that, why are we worried about this action? Why focus on this when the world is suffering? There's so much hardship that's taking place in the world. Why are we focusing upon such actions that people are doing? Amongst the answers that can be given is the world suffering is a global issue, a political issue, that maybe we can only say certain things, do certain things. We don't have the full solution to change the world status quo, the politics of the world, the suffering of the world. But those sins and those actions which are directly inside our hand, we're able to prevent ourselves. We're able to stop ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about that. Allah will also ask us about the suffering around the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that there's certain things that we can't do, that we can't change. We don't have the tools, we don't have the voice, we don't have the ability. So we could be excused from that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the daily sins, the daily bad practices, which are within our control, within our reach, and we don't try to change ourselves, then we are responsible for that even more so. And likewise, some people begin to give this argument that you people only focus upon the qishr, the peel. You don't follow the core element or the problems that we're facing. This is the mantiq, the logic that they use, these modernistic words that they use, that only focusing upon the peel of the fruit and not focusing upon the core of the fruit. This in itself is flawed linguistically in understanding from the sciences of fruit as well, because in general, the external plantation of a fruit shows the internal core. If it's corrupt from the outside, it'll be corrupt from the inside. And likewise, we find that even if we use this modernistic approach that we find, even we use classical texts of the Qur'an, of ma'ani of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, what does it mean? Of being people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah. A Sunnah is the internal core of changing oneself within. Wal Jama'ah is the consensus external body of Muslims, of how we represent ourselves, what we do. So this is from the ma'ani of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is to focus internally and to focus externally. Just because certain people may externally, they only focus on certain things and they make that their cliche, they make that their approach of their da'wah, the external elements of how long a person's beard is, how long their hijab is, whether they wear niqab, whether qasr al-thiyab, whether they have their garments over their ankles or certain ways that they pray, just because some people may do that. And we're not saying that's wrong. But that's not just qillatul ilm, it's qillatul fahm. A lack of understanding that out of their zeal and their passion, that's all that they focus upon. That's all that their life becomes, and that's why that's the only thing that they preach to people. So people get that understanding that these people, the only thing they're speaking about is these things. They don't have nothing else to address. They have nothing else to tackle, nothing else to speak about. So we are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah at all times throughout our lives. Whatever needs to be highlighted externally, internally, we try our best to remind ourselves. And likewise, they give the excuse that a person is drowning, is dying. You're discussing whether to touch the person, whether not to touch the person, if it's a non-mahram, whatever it may be. And this is false because the Sharia is flexible. If somebody is dying, you will take them out and rescue them. You're not going to worry about the intricate details about them. So that's not what we're saying. We're talking about those things that directly we have the ability that we can address, that we can change. We should focus upon that inside our lives that we find. As for the history of tadkhin of tobacco that we find, if you read through the Encyclopedia of Britannica and other sources that we find, historical evidences that we find, they say that it goes back to the people. This plant itself is repulsive. The essence, the foundation of this plant is a repulsive plant that not even animals go towards it or eat from this plant. And we find that they wrote that certain people, some of them go to the view that the land of Trinidad and Tobago, that's where tobacco comes from, that they had a Y-shaped, like a fork that used to smoke or inhale the smoke of this plant. Is one view that the history of tobacco that they find. The other view is when Christopher Columbus, he landed upon the Americas in 1492, and the native Indians, they gifted him with tobacco. And they began to transport that back by the 15th, 16th century, you find the Europeans saw the usage of tobacco. They began to transport tobacco, import tobacco, begin to spread that, use that as a commodity amongst themselves that we find. And the strange thing is that by the 17th century, they saw the dangers. They saw the dangers of tobacco and began to implement some prohibitions and some punishments began to implement it about this. But as we know, they have no faith. So it withers away, just like you find the alcohol ban that took place in the 1920s and 30s in America, that you find alcohol was haram, khamar was made haram in America. In the 1920s all the way into 1933 or so, it was haram, forbidden. But why did they then legalize it once again? Because of iman. They had no iman, no faith to abstain from it. And likewise, you know that everything about these people in general revolves around money. Money is their god, is their deity. That's why you find that they go to wars with countries. They enter into countries based upon currency, upon wealth, upon minerals, upon oil, upon revenue, upon natural resources. That's what mostly that the world is based upon, that intent. And that's what you find historically, that you find that the American Revolution 1776 between the Americans and the British is largely based upon tobacco. And then even as a side point, you find what's classified as the Opium Wars. That when this country went to war with China regarding opium, regarding drugs, of the use of drugs in those countries, of killing people, was based upon this. So don't think that these people, they're away from what they want to achieve inside their lives. Because they will go to war to defend their wealth, to defend their property. They will go to war, even happens to be something haram or something detrimental, because they don't look at few individuals. They look at the global impact of their wealth and their currency, of what they're trying to gain from these people. And even they call it themselves the sin tax. There's certain taxes that they place upon certain commodities. They say themselves is classified as sin tax. But why? Because it's a multi-billion pound industry. So they're not going to classify it straight away as haram or push people away from it, because there's a benefit from it. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. They ask you about wine and gambling and intoxicants. Say there's a sin in them, but it's also a minor benefit. That minor benefit is this, the wealth that they try to extract from it that we find. And thus you find that the marketing expenditures inside the US of advertising cigarettes that we find is $12 billion in a year. Daily $34 million is spent in advertising, in pushing out cigarettes inside society that we find. And thus you find that more than 1 million minors or teenagers annually begin to get addicted to cigarettes. More than 1 million inside the country that we find. The Institute of Medicine, it concludes that tobacco kills more Americans than AIDS, alcohol, cocaine, heroin, homicides, suicides, car accidents and fires combined. The more deaths than that is tobacco. Diseases of tobacco. You know, they speak about terrorism inside the world, which obviously is wrong. But they don't want to discuss these issues or what's killing their society, what's killing humanity. We find that more than 1,000 people per day in this country, are hospitalized due to tobacco-related illnesses and diseases. More than 1,000 people. Yes, we're all worried about COVID-19 and sickness and illnesses that we find. But how many deaths have taken place in comparison to find out how many take place? Between 1950 to 2000, you find more than 6 million deaths inside this country related to tobacco-related diseases. 6 million deaths inside this country have taken place. And in all honesty, we have to acknowledge that some people amongst them, they do make an effort. They have recognized that smoking is dangerous. Thus, you find that in some 1972 or so, that smoking was banned in the radio and upon television, that we find smoking is in general banned in public places that we find inside this country. Even to such a degree, they've recognized the passive smoking. They want to ban that as well. Or they ban that in public places, affecting children. And it may even sound strange that the government is even researching or pushing that even when a person smokes on their own in a private place, like inside their car, we need to ban that as well. So if a person wants to smoke, they should smoke in the open, far away. They shouldn't even smoke inside the car with their own selves. It's detrimental. So as we find organizations like ASH, that we find Action on Smoking Health, that we find, if you look at all this research that they've carried out, it's something we have to acknowledge. That they do understand the dangers and they do try to a certain degree, but the government obviously has its own role to play. Compare that now to the Muslim world. How the Muslim world that we find in 1633, that Sultan Murad IV, that he ordered tobacco users to be executed. So we saw the dangers as well. And a state policy began to develop that people who use tobacco need to be executed. By 1647, this ban was lifted. By 1832, that we find that the roll-up, the cigarette that we find in today's modern form, is attributed to an Egyptian soldier who's inside the Turkish army, who took tobacco and began to roll it into cigarette paper form. And thus we find that sometimes we like to blame non-Muslims for carrying out corruption and expanding upon corruption. Sometimes we should look at our own history, our own selves, that how we take sometimes haram things and then we begin to push it inside society and begin to encourage people to come towards haram that we find. And to date in general, In general, we find that smoking is rampant in the Muslim world. In general, to a large proportion, 95 to 97%, many governments don't seem to care much about the dangers of smoking inside their society. Yes, there is some effort, but it's a very minute effort in the global picture of things compared to what the Western world. See, we won't imitate the Western world in these things about our health and trying to protect our society, protect people around us. We'll imitate the West in the wrong things. And these are just some statistical data that we can go and look back inside our lives. But let us refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah to see how the Quran and Sunnah engages with these aspects. The Quran mentions, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We haven't left anything out in this book. That you find that Quran, huwa asas, is the foundation of everything. That's where you find that rules and regulations are based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. That's where you find qiyas, analogy, is based, extracted from the Quran. That we begin to take something else, we begin to throw it in light of the Quran, and we begin to extract hukum and rulings or something which could be detrimental or beneficial to us. The role of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. Inside Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about النبي الأمي, the illiterate prophet. But look at the vision of this illiterate prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah mentions that he is the one وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. He makes good things halal for them. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And anything which is filthy, which is corrupt, he makes it haram upon them via the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or legislation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awwalan, it is harm to one's deen. It's hadith that we mentioned, من أكل من هذه الشجرة المنتنية فلا يقربن المسجد مسجدنا مسجدنا فلا يقربن مسجد مسجدنا. Whoever eats from this foul tree, let that person not come close to our masjid, to our places of prayer. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنُ الْإِنسِ. Indeed, the angels are upset. It harms them. It grieves them. Just like human beings are grieved. Another hadith we find, هَذِي الشَّجَرَةِ الْخَبِيثَ. Whoever eats from this evil tree, شَيْئًا, anything from this evil tree, from this plantation, let that person not come to this masjid of ours. مَنْ أَكَلَ ثُومًا أَوْ بَصَلًا. Whoever eats onions or garlic in its raw format, let that person not come to our places of prayer. These are original evidences that ulama concluded that smoking is makruh, is disliked. In the late 18th century, the beginning of 19th century, the ulama, based upon these ahadith and what they saw, they couldn't see the medical discussion. They couldn't see the harms at that moment in time. So they concluded that this is something which is makruh. Makruh isn't something to be taken lightly, even according to a sool of or principles of fiqh that we find, or rulings of fiqh that we find. Makruh carries the meaning of this is something disliked by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That should be enough for a person to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this action, and this is not something likened by the Prophet alayhi wasallam, so I need to avoid this. And this was a ruling that was mentioned a long time ago. And the Sharia has developed in the sense that it begins to see the light of the harms and the dangers. And that's where you find that the consensus, a large portion of the ulama today, from a broad spectrum that you find, from people of Al-Hijaz to Al-Azhar al-Sharif to people of Dilban that we find, have concluded. Ignore whether some people like to say that some of the ulama, that they smoke, etc. But the standing fatwa of the lajna that we find amongst them is that smoking, حكم التدخين هو حرام, شرب التدخين هو حرام, is forbidden because of all these dangers that we're going to highlight. Harm to one's deen, that we find that some people, that affects the smoking, they stay away from salah. They stay away from the jama'ah, they stay away from the congregation. And we find that some people, even in fasting, they have to break their fast on a cigarette. Which may sound strange for some of us, but you find that there are people, they have to break their fast with a cigarette. This is their nourishment. This is the food that would have to affect their deen, that we find. Harm to the human body. As we know that medically has been proven, we find that these people that campaign that on a cigarette box, it clearly states it's dangerous to your health. Look at even cigarettes in shops now. You have to conceal them. You can't openly advertise. you get fined if the cigarette shelves are being open and display. It has to be concealed. And now they're even moving towards that. The packets need to be a plain packet. No branding and just a label on there. Why? And they clearly state this is detrimental to one's health. Poisonous elements. Research has shown that there's 4,000 chemicals inside cigarette smoke. And 43 compounds that can cause cancer inside a person. In the smoking of cigarettes. A smoker's age is diminished by 10 years. Obviously we know that age is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's asbab. There's things that a person does that becomes harmful upon them. The British Medical Association has mentioned that the smoking of one cigarette, which approximately takes maybe 5.5 minutes, takes away 5.5 minutes of your life. Every time you smoke a cigarette, it takes away 5.5 minutes of your life. What does the Quran say? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill your own selves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Don't lead yourself to killing your own self. This poison that you inject inside your own body is killing your own self. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't destroy yourself. Lead yourself to destruction with your own hands. And likewise, you find in the hadith, لَا ضَرَرْ وَلَا ضِرَارْ. We find, which is a principle of Sul al-Fiqh, there's no harm. No harm upon your own self and no reciprocating harm upon another individual. Don't harm yourselves and don't harm other individuals. And likewise, on the Day of Judgment, 5 things a person will be asked about. وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَاهُ. Person will be asked about their body. It's a right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the individual to preserve their body. And they'll be asked about this on the Day of Judgment. Harm to the mind and willpower. كُلُّ مُسْكِرْ حَرَامُ وَكُلُّ مُفَتِّرْ حَرَامُ. Everything that intoxicates your mind, takes away your strength, your willpower, is haram. Once again, it may sound strange for us, but some of these people, they have become slaves to the cigarette. They have become slaves to it. It controls their life. They may speak about, I can abandon at any moment inside my life. That's not true. Many of them become slaves to it. It runs their life. Whenever they're upset, they're panicked, they're happy, whatever work, career, life, eating, drinking, socializing, everything. It just becomes part, integral part of their life. That they need to have it as part of their life. So it harms your willpower, it harms your mind. And likewise, harm to the environment. As we mentioned, لَا ضَرَرْ وَلَا ضِرَارْ. Study the research of fires in countries. How many fires have been ignited via cigarette smoking or the butts of cigarette have caused fires inside this society, inside the Western world that we find. And likewise, the passive smoking has been concluded that even for us who don't smoke, being at some close proximity to a person who smokes is equally dangerous as a person who smokes. That the effects of that smoke enters into our lungs, enters into our body and harms us. Just like the person who's smoking is a danger which has been proven inside society. Smoking in front of children, it harms children. And as we mentioned, that even alone, as we mentioned, it can harm the individual or people around them as well. Harm to one's property and one's wealth. How much does a box of cigarettes cost today? More than £10 or so? Person, they smoke 20 a day. Multiply that by a daily usage. How many thousands of pounds a person spends in a year on this action? Quran mentions, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Don't waste your wealth. Don't become amongst those individuals who squander their wealth, just throw their wealth of things that have no benefit. Quran mentions, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those individuals who loosely spend their wealth, have no accountability to their wealth, just squander their wealth. Quran mentions, كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. They are the brethren of the devil. Of the devils. In a hadith we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes 3 things. Many times we mention this hadith. But inside this hadith we find qila wa qal, this and that was said, wa ida'atul mal, wasting of one's wealth, wa kathratus su'al. So 2 of them we focus upon it many times. But what about wasting of one's wealth? This is wasting one's wealth inside our daily lives that we find. And likewise we find resembling people of the hellfire. Modern day ulama tafasir, they mentioned from Surah Al-Ghashiyah, the overwhelming, لَيْسَ لَمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع. You find these people, their ta'am, إلا من ضريع, will be a plantation, a thorny plant of Jahannam will be their food, will be their nourishment. لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع. This doesn't nourish them, and it doesn't take away their hunger. A burning, thorny plant will be their nourishment. That's modern day ulama of tafsir have mentioned that this ayah, it can be used to speak about smoking. It doesn't nourish you. Smoking doesn't give you nourishment like food and drink. It gives you a form of nourishment. It's just a smoke, a plant, a burning plant that the person is inhaling within their body. And thus we find everybody in society acknowledges this is an evil substance. Nobody calls it a good substance. As we mentioned, speaking about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهُ الْخَبَائِثِ, that he makes haram things or evil things haram upon them. And likewise, the Quran mentions, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Say that pure things and impure things, good things and filthy things are not going to be the same. We all conclude that smoking is something filthy. It is something impure. Ignore the fact that whether a person wants to smoke or not smoke, the key fact is that all of us conclude it's something which is impure. It's something that burns the body of the human being, harms the internal system, the internal organs, affects their teeth, their mouth, creates cancer, tuberculosis, lung cancer, heart disease, heart attack. All of this, all of us, we conclude this safely. That this is, so how can we say that this is something which is good or something which is pure? And likewise, other issues related to this. Some of the ulama, the fuqaha of Malikiya, have gone to the view that a person who's the imam, wa huwa yudakhin, and he smokes, for his salah is batila, his prayer is invalidated. It's a minor view, but that's why we need to study fiqh in great detail. They said that the imam who smokes, is not permissible for him to be the imam. Look at us today. That's we see there are unfortunately, there may be a minute amount, there are imams who smoke. And some of them who smoke in public, because based upon they think it's makruh, that it's only dislikened. But fuqaha have mentioned that person, that their prayer is invalidated, they can't lead the people in prayer. That could be an extreme view. But it's a view which is less than that, which Sheikh Ibn Baz rahmatullahi mentioned when he's asked about the person, the imam who smokes. He said that the prayer is complete, but it's not befitting for that person to lead the people in prayer. Select another imam, have another imam to lead the people in prayer. But if he happens to smoke and he leads the people in prayer, your prayer is complete. But it shows the worry that we should have. You know, that's why sometimes we've become trivial in many of our things. We think that being the imam is just lighthearted. If he doesn't cover his head, if he shaves his beard, if his beard is short or his thawb is not appropriate. We find it trivial today. It's not trivial عند الفقهاء. They never found it trivial. They found it severe. They found it, it's their deen. That the imam has to be somebody who's upright inside society, has to fulfill all of the characteristics, sifat, of being an imam. Doesn't mean imams are infallible, they do sin. But there's a certain demeanor. There's a certain characteristic of the imam, a haybah that needs to be delivered so people find the imam as a qudwa. Not the imam, kullu man habba wa dabba, any individual is the imam. Just because they're fluent in Quran is something tayyib, is something good. But it doesn't give the overall right for a person to then begin to have fisq, al-zahir, apparent sinning in public, begin to overlook this because they happen to be person of the Quran. We should find the due balance of reminding themselves and reminding ourselves of the person being inside that position. Likewise, we find that many of the average individuals that they say, maybe I don't smoke. But we find Muslims selling tobacco, selling cigarettes. They think nothing of it. Hadith in the Sunan of Abi Dawood and a Muslim Imam Ahmad. Inna Allah idha harrama shay, harrama thamanuhu. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something haram, على قوم, makes something haram upon a people, then the thamanuhu, the price, the commodity, the earnings, everything linked to it, is all haram. So these Muslims will say, I don't smoke, but if I sell cigarettes, it doesn't mean anything. لا يجوز, haram. It's forbidden. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا. Those who want to spread vice inside society, spread evil inside society, for them is an evil punishment for those individuals. Our iman is weak. We live in the West. My earnings, my risk, my sustenance. So I'm going to lose my incomes that we find. What is more dangerous? What is more dangerous for a person to lose their iman or to be worried about their earnings? And this is a sad thing about some of us Muslims. We don't take moral stances. There's an element of weakness inside our society. That's why you find that we have to sometimes praise, unfortunately, non-Muslims. They do take stances that when they believe in something, they highlight it. They're willing to sacrifice their lives for it. Let's ignore if it's iman or kufr. Ignore that for the time being. But they believe in something and they will highlight it. We Muslims, we believe in something, we don't highlight it. We become shallow, become weak Muslims. That why should I highlight? Why should I make this stance? Why should I go forward inside society and highlight this? That's not what Islam is. Islam is a dominant change of the person and the society around them. Well, as we mentioned, the affairs that are related to tobacco, as we mentioned about being people inside society, leading the people in prayer, or a person begins to sell these evil substances that we find. And that also, which is linked to it, is the chewing or the eating of qat. That they find that in general, that people inside the Ethiopia, and likewise inside Yemen, that we find in Somalia, that we find up to $12 million a day are spent on buying this substance qat, this plant that we find, which affects, that they chew as the same as cocaine. The chewing of this qat that we find, these poor countries. How can these countries spend $12 million a day on this substance? You find this substance broadly in some European countries has been banned. It's only this country at the moment, it's still legalized at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, but inside Holland and other European countries, that the taking of qat is something which is forbidden. And once again, that inside our Muslim countries, no effect. It's detrimental to a person's health, to a person's life that we find. And likewise, another thing inside, which is more prominent, if not in the Eastern world, likewise in the Western world as well at the moment, is shisha that we find. That the inhaling, that people say is fruit substances that we find. That dangers have already been highlighted. And even if we try to go to that view that people are trying to say it's makruh, just like cigarettes, it will be proven more and more that it is as detrimental as scholars and medics have highlighted, just as smoking. That is alleviation that people now that we find, as we began with, so-called practicing Muslims. The sad fact is that they are practicing Muslims who open these environments, these lounges of people to go and smoke shisha. There's no other work for you to earn a living. There's no other work for you to do. This becomes a way of earning for you. That you feel that even if we say it's a grey area, it's a very big grey area. But we can safely conclude that the taking of the smoking of shisha is haram. And the whole environment around it, these people that they create, these lounges that they create of music, of ikhtilat, of maybe even listening of music, taking of drugs as well, all these fawahish that exist there. How does this now make it? Ida'atul mal, wasting of money, wasting of time. You know, I visualize with my own eyes in some Muslim countries that people before Fajr are preparing the tools and the instruments. As we're walking to Fajr to the masjid, they're preparing themselves. Wallah alam whether they've prayed Fajr. Obviously, we didn't see them in the masjid in Jama'ah. They may give them excuse, prayed it quietly there inside their shops or whatever it may be. But preparing the tools, preparing the instruments. And then throughout the whole day, people are just sitting there. All through the day, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, through the night, smoking the shisha. Then we want to complain about the Muslim world. We want to complain about politics. We want to complain about our suffering. This is what the average person is doing. That's all that their life becomes. Just sitting there discussing things, wasting their time. That's what we become, a nation, a ummah who waste their time. Have nothing constructive to do inside our lives, wasting our life away. And likewise, you find it's been concluded that smoking, the smoking of cigarettes is a stepping stone to other drugs. It's been proven medically, it's been proven socially, that people who smoke cigarettes will eventually begin to dibble and dabble in other substances and begin to take drugs. In general, it's been proven. It's a stepping stone. And likewise, we find in conclusion that we find the means for quitting, the spiritual means. We shouldn't despair, we shouldn't lose hope, that we find resolution, that a person should have a reliance upon or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you make a resolution to do something inside your life, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Place your tawakkul upon or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what a Muslim should be. When they make azmu sadiq, a strong resolution inside their heart, they place their trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bismillah, nabda, and they begin in trying to stay away from that path or trying to follow a good path. Likewise, we find that the support will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever strives, Allah mentions, will support that individual. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who strive in our paths, you try your best, then Allah will guide you to the right path. And Allah is with the doers of good. And thirdly, we find make dua. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Dua is a powerful tool. Person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq, give me the ability, give me the means, give me the ways, give me the iman, give me the strength to avoid these sins, to stay away from it, to come away from it, make me do these good deeds. A tawfiq min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has that conviction inside their heart, it may even be years, but a person will move away from these bad habits that we find. And as soon as a person knows inside their life, person should take immediate action. Sofa, yani procrastination, leaving it for another day. Muslim isn't like that. As soon as a Muslim hears something and it penetrates their heart and their mind, they should make that intention straight away and avoid it. That's why I read the tafsir of the ayat of Al-Khamr in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 90 and 91. How you find that alcohol was close to their lips. As soon as they heard these ayat, now these are the final stages. They could have thought maybe have another drink, or maybe abandon it next week, the following month, or I'll set a plan. La, straight away, because iman was there now. They abandoned it. That's why you find that some of the historians that they write, or people of Sirah, they write, there was wine that was flowing. All the utensils were smashed on the street and the wine was flowing through Medina, because that's it now. So that's how a Muslim should be, that when they hear the ayat, they hear the Quran, they should make that strong resolution to stay away from it. Likewise, to avoid bad company. People who smoke, avoid people. If a person smokes, avoid these people. And if a person did smoke, avoid them. And likewise, if a person doesn't smoke, avoid such people, sitting among such people who have these evil, bad characteristics. Likewise, seek medical help. There's nothing wrong with medical health. If it's patches that don't contain something which is haram, or tablets or nourishment or gums or whatever it may be, there's no harm. La haraj fi dhalik. Person takes these to help them also to abandon this evil action, change their food diet, engage inside exercise, use of the miswak, all these things that we find. And even if a person falls into the trap of shaitan, may go back to it again, don't despair. Carry on, don't give up. Continuously strive again to perfect yourself linguistically, to make yourself a better individual. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us amongst those individuals, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Those who don't just hear the words and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but they ponder, they reflect, they lend a wholesome ear to it. It penetrates them. وَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. And they try their best to make ittiba to the best of their ability. That's what a Muslim is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those individuals who hear the Qur'an, listen to the Qur'an, listen to the sunnah, and it penetrates our heart and our mind to become good believing individuals and to stay away from all that which is khaba'ith, which is impure, zahiran wa batinan, externally and internally. Go towards the tayyib, to the tayyibat, go towards the good things, externally and internally inside our lives and likewise inside our society to make it wholesome and a good society.